And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, hello, everyone. Carl Amari here. This is the WGN Radio Theater, where we play classic radio shows. Theater of the Mind, radio broadcast, my sidekick, Second Banana. What's some of the other euphemisms?
Your better half, for sure.
Absolutely. Lisa Wolf is here with me, and the whole gang is here. And we've even got pizza coming in.
We do.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know I was hungry, but as soon as
night.
You say pizza, I get hungry. It is about 11 minutes after 11 here on WGN Tribune Tower. Here we're broadcasting the classic radio shows from the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. And tonight, all the way to 2 o'clock in the morning, it's Inner Sanctum Mysteries, Duffy's Tavern, and the Adventures of Sam Spade Detective. We also do a little trivia thing, right, Lisa?
Right, we're going to name that movie.
Ooh,
we're
yeah.
Three times each hour and give away some great prizes
we
tonight.
Have some terrific prizes.
I think I just said that.
Yeah, we do. And but I like to talk over you a lot.
I noticed that.
312-981-7200. That's the number. Write that down, because three times an hour, as Lisa said, you can win some fabulous prizes. We're going to give you a chance to do that right now. We're going to ask our listeners to name this movie. It is a 1994 crime drama starring John Travolta. Here you go.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
All right. Do you know what movie that is? If so, call us right now, 312-981-7200, and win Cookies by Joey, a $25 gift certificate. These are gourmet cookies that you will love. They're yummy.
They are. They're more than yummy. They're natural. They contain no preservatives. And they were in the Academy Award gift bag, so they're very special.
All right. Call us right now. We're going to take a break, and we'll find our winner.
And we are back at the WGN Radio Theater. We are going to play that movie clip again.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
Okay. And we have Bob on the line from Crystal Lake. Good evening, Bob.
Hey, Bob. Are you there?
Bob, I don't hear him.
Bob's not there.
But he is a winner, I think.
All right.
We'll see if he can name that movie.
Hang on. We're going to try to get him on. There we go. How's that?
Bob,
you there? There he is.
All right, we've got you, Bob.
Sorry about that.
Do you know this movie?
Pulp Fiction, right?
Pulp Fiction is right. We were a little worried. We thought we lost you, but we've got you back. And guess what, Bob? Do you like cookies?
Thank you. Kahuna Burger? Cookies. Okay.
Cookies. We've got Cookies by Joey for you. That's a $25 gift certificate. They ship all over the world. They are located in Wheeling, Illinois, and I'm sure you're going to love them. So congratulations.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Bob. Hey, let's get into our first classic radio show, Lisa, all right? Inner Sanctum Mysteries, one of the scariest of all the radio shows. So folks, pull your covers up close, right? Started in 1941. Created by Hyman Brown, who later created the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. The trademark was the squeaking door of this show. At the very beginning, you hear the squeaking door. Some of the stars that appeared on this, Boris Karloff, Peter Lorre, but mostly it was New York's top radio pros that appeared in this. It was a broadcast out of New York. It was sponsored for most of its run by Lipton Tea, and we're going to tune into part one now. This is called The Confession. January 22nd, 1946, it stars Paul McGrath and Santos Ortega, part one of Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good
evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. Welcome. Come right in. There's room enough for everybody. As a matter of fact, the more bodies, the better. Don't be surprised by the gloom. It's our new paint job in black, so the bloodstains won't show.
Why, Mr. Host, that's an awful thing to say, giving all these nice people the wrong impression about our program.
Oh, on the contrary, Mary. You know very well that our proceedings here are rather terrifying and our little family a bit on the gruesome. Of course, it used to be different in the old days of Inner Sanctum, but since then we grew some.
We have indeed, Mr. Host. But now, while you're busy making last-minute arrangements, I'm going to enjoy a chat with our Lipton listeners. When you tip up the teapot and pour yourself out a cup of Lipton tea, what a lively, inviting fragrance curls up from the cup to greet you. And above all, what sheer delight there is in Lipton's delicious taste. You say to yourself, there must be a reason why Lipton tea is so much more enjoyable than any tea I've ever tasted. And friends, there is. It's Lipton's brisk flavor. Briskness in a tea is what folks like. And brisk is the very word the tea experts themselves use to describe Lipton's hearty, more flavorful goodness. So no wonder tea drinkers love Lipton so much. Unlike ordinary, dull-tasting teas, Lipton's has a world of fresh, lively, full-bodied flavor. And because it's brisk-tasting, more people buy and enjoy Lipton's than any other brand of tea in the world. Chances are you'll prefer it, too. Try this tangy, more flavorful tea soon. It's Lipton tea. Brisk-flavored Lipton tea.
And now, friends, draw up your chairs. Dim the lights and listen to a story designed to freeze the spine and set the teeth on edge. It was written by Michael Sklar and Richard Manoff, and it's called The Confession. Our star is Santa Sotega, who plays the role of Alex.
The last thing I remembered was the gunshot, the thud of the bullet, and the burning pain in my stomach. Then everything got black. When I regained consciousness, my impression was of blinding whiteness.
There, don't try to move, Mr. Sturgis.
Where am I?
This is the emergency ward of the General Hospital.
I felt no pain. Just an overall numbness and a desire to sleep. Am I going to die?
Yes.
How much time have I got?
A couple of hours.
Doctor, I want to make confession. I want to confess to murder. I told the doctor about the money and Lenore. She was much younger than I. And she thought because I owned a little drugstore, I must be prosperous. And I suppose that's why she married me in spite of the difference in our ages. But there wasn't any money for fun or nice clothes. So she became restless. But I loved her. And I did my best. Until the other night in the drugstore.
12 o'clock, thank heaven. Time to close up, Alex.
5 more minutes, dear. Another customer might come along.
Just like an old man chasing pennies, never getting anything out of life.
Be reasonable, dear. I'm trying to make a living for it.
Is this your idea of a living? Is this what you promised me before we were married?
I know it's not what you deserve, Lenore, but someday...
Oh, you make me sick. I must have been crazy when I married you.
Lenore.
I'm going to say something I've had on my mind for a long time, Alex. Rather than go on this way, I'd prefer to be dead. Look at you. I don't have to put up with you. I'm still young, Alex.
So there it was. Out in the open. An old man with money would have been acceptable. But because I had no money, she was going to leave me. I wanted to plead with her. I would have gotten down on my knees. But before I could say anything, the street door opened, and a man stumbled into the store.
Oh, Alex, look!
Help me, quick. I'm wounded.
I helped the man to a chair. He'd been shot in the chest, and the front of his coat was covered with blood. His breathing came hard.
Bullet, my chest. Patch me up.
I'm only a pharmacist. You need a doctor.
I'll call Dr. Johnson.
No, I don't want any doctor. I want you to help me.
Is it because doctors must report bullet wounds? Is that why you want a doctor?
Never mind my reason. I got plenty of dough. I'll give you $500 to take care of me.
Well, I'd better call the police.
No, lady, no. Look, mister, take care of me. Keep it quiet. I'll give you $1,000.
Let me see the money.
Here's $1,000 bill, but I got plenty more.
No. Help me take him into the back room.
Oh, but Alex.
No, I'll take him myself. You get busy and wipe the blood off the floor.
Oh, no. No, you can't.
Wipe up the blood. Do as I say, Lenore.
What's taking you so long?
I'm looking for a certain medicine among these bottles.
Give me something to stop the bleeding. Hurry.
I'll be ready for you soon. Well, Lenore, did you get the floor clean?
Yes, it's clean. How is he?
He's in bad shape. Weak from loss of blood.
Alex, you haven't done anything for him yet.
Be quiet.
But you've been in here 5 minutes and he's just like he was before. Alex, you're stalling. Alex.
Let him lay there.
But he's dying.
I know.
Alex, call the police.
No.
Are you going to let him die?
Yes.
That's as bad as murder.
I didn't shoot him. It's not my fault if he dies. Lenore, he's got money. Thousands of dollars. No one knows he came here. This is our chance, Lenore.
What do you mean?
I'm going to let him die. Take his money. And then get rid of his body. He lay still. I stooped and went through his jacket. There was a wallet containing a few $1 bills and a driver's license, which I handed to Lenore.
His name is James Kirk. He lives in Hillsboro.
His pockets were crammed full of bills of large denominations. Lenore watched, fascinated, as I counted.
How much is it, Alex?
A little over $78,000. We're rich, Lenore.
I'm frightened.
There's nothing to be afraid of. All we have to do now is wait until he dies and get rid of the body.
Do you need me to help you?
No, I can manage alone. This body is heavy. Yeah. It's through the door.
Oh. He's still alive.
Yes.
Well, what are you going to do now?
It'd be dangerous to wait here until he dies. Anyway, what difference does it make? He'll be dead when he goes into the water.
No. No, that's murder.
Call it what you like. We've gone too far now to stop. You wait in the car. I'm going to carry him to the edge of the pier and drop him over the side. Gone. I watched Kirk's body sink into the water. I knew the current in the bay would carry it out to sea. One doesn't picture a middle-aged druggist committing a perfect crime, but I felt sure that I had done it. For I had Kirk's money, and it seemed that no one could connect his death to me. I rejoined Lenore in the car, started for home. After I'd driven for a few minutes, I noticed she was strangely quiet. What's the matter, dear?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Something's troubling you. What is it?
Nothing.
You act as though you're afraid of me.
No.
You are afraid of me. Lenore, why?
I never saw you act this way before. Something's happened to you. You're different.
Oh, nonsense.
Don't you feel it, Alex? You're a murderer.
Lenore.
You wouldn't even wait until he was dead.
Listen to me, Lenore. Whatever I did for your sake. I wanted the money for you, so you could be happy.
Oh, how can I be happy with this thing hanging over us?
We had breakfast the next morning in absolute silence. Then Lenore went to open the store. While I wrapped the money in a parcel, took it to the bank, placed it in my box in the safe deposit vault. No one paid any attention to me, although the bank was swarming with police detectives. From the bank, I went directly to the drugstore and found a man there waiting for me.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes?
Biggert is my name. Mark Biggert.
What can I do for you?
I'm an insurance company detective, Mr. Sturgis. I'm investigating the First National Bank robbery for my company. I want you to tell me everything you know about that robbery.
Don't say I didn't warn you about Alex Sturgis at the beginning of our story. You know, he's quite a guy for an oldish man. A real killer. He thinks death begins at 40.
Mr. Host, I think Alex Sturgis is a perfectly dreadful person.
Oh, but he's a good druggist, Mary. Just the man to go to if you have to fill a prescription for murder.
Well, we've certainly had plenty of prescriptions for murder, mayhem, and arson on our program, Mr. Host. But now I've got something different. A prescription for enjoyment. The directions are pleasantly simple. First, just stretch out in an easy chair in front of the fireplace. Then make sure there's a cup of brisk-flavored Lipton tea at your side, and your pleasure will be complete. There's just nothing more delightfully good than the zestful flavor of Lipton tea. It's so bright and refreshing and satisfying. Its familiar, welcome fragrance seems to fill the whole room with summer. And how beautifully its deep amber color fits the scene. A color as warm and cheery as the flames dancing on the hearth. Now there's a real prescription for enjoyment. Try it tomorrow with a piping hot cup of delicious, brisk-flavored Lipton tea.
Well, that should be a very pleasant prescription to take, Mary.
All right, that's the first portion of Inner Sanctum Mysteries here on the WGN Radio Theater. Let's take a break, then it's more. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm Carl Amari. Lisa Wolf is here, and we're in the middle of listening to Inner Sanctum Mysteries. We'll get back to that in just a second. I want to remind our listeners that we are here every Sunday night at 11 o'clock going into Monday morning, 2 a.m. We have 3 hours on the air here on this legendary station, broadcasting out of the Tribune Tower, playing classic radio shows, old-time radio shows from the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. The Shadow, Jack Benny, Inner Sanctum, The Whistler, Gunsmoke, Dragnet, you name it, we have it here for you. So tell a friend. So we're here 3 hours, and we play three classic radio shows. And we have a website. If you'd like to visit our website, it's WGNRadioTheater.com. And at that website, at the very bottom, there's our schedule where we play, where we list all the shows we're going to play. And also, there's our Twitter, whatever that is. Mike Gastella, my executive producer, tells me that we should have a Twitter, and so we do. And there's also a Facebook. I don't know what that is either. I mean, I know what it is. I just don't know how to use it. Right, Lisa?
Well, luckily, we do that for you.
Luckily, our listeners
we'll
do.
We'll just keep it real easy for you,
you
Carl.
Know, my whole life is listening to these classic radio shows and cataloging them and licensing them.
Right. There's no
the
time
The whole
for
technology
else.
Age has passed me way, way by.
Way.
Way, way, way by.
Way.
So let's get back to this. What do you say?
It's as you say, we're going to pull up our covers.
Pull the covers up
and
close.
Get ready.
Let's lower the lights a little in here.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And get back to this. This is from January 22nd, 1946. It's called The Confession, and Santos Ortega is the star. Let's tune in. Part two of Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
And now, friends, let's get on with our story. Lying on a hospital bed, Alex Sturgis has confessed to the murder of a bank robber who entered his drugstore in much the same manner as the fly who entered the spider's parlor. Alex pocketed the robber's loot and dumped him, still alive, into the bay. An insurance company detective has just come in to question him.
He was a big man, but not fat, this detective. And although he didn't appear to be very intelligent, he had a look of cunning. His clothes were rumpled, and he rolled an unlit cigar around in his mouth as he spoke.
Suppose you start from the beginning, Sturgis.
There's nothing to talk about, Biggert. I don't know anything about the robbery.
You don't, eh?
No, I don't. Why should you come here annoying me with silly questions?
I'll tell you why I'm here, Sturgis, and then maybe you'll see a way clear to talk. You know the bank was robbed last night and the crook got away with better than $78,000?
Yes.
The night watchman was shot. He's in a coma now, but before he was shot, he shot one of the crooks.
What does that have to do with me?
I'm coming to you, Sturgis. I'm a slow man, but I'm thorough, which is more than you can say for the harness bulls and the police force. Take those harness bulls. They didn't spot the trail of blood that wounded crook left when he ducked on the alley behind the bank. Funny thing, they clean missed it. But I noticed it, Sturgis. I followed it through the alley and straight up the street. And here's another peculiar thing. The trail ended right smack at the door of this drugstore.
Are you implying...
2 and 2 makes 4, Sturgis. As I said, I'm not a fancy-pants detective, but here's how I figure it. This Yegg was wounded, so he came in here and asked you to fix him up, which you did. In exchange, he gave you a nice big piece of the tape to keep your mouth shut. Am I right, Sturgis?
You're 100% wrong.
If you were smart, you'd talk now and save yourself a lot of grief.
I've got nothing to tell you.
Suit yourself, Sturgis. But here's my business card. In case you change your mind, you can reach me, the Hotel Empire. Oh, by the way, the company is offering a $5,000 reward for the return of that money.
I'm not interested. Good day.
Okay. It's your next, Sturgis. I'll be seeing you.
Alex, I heard what he said. He knows.
I should have thought of the blood outside.
Well, how can you stand there and act so calm about it? He knows, I tell you.
Take hold of yourself and know. He only suspects, and his suspicions aren't worth 2 cents unless he can produce evidence. Believe me, we've got nothing to worry about. I was cocky then. Too cocky. Lenore was right. I was a changed man. That money had put iron into my spine. And then, that afternoon, I got the first of the phone calls. Hello? Sturgis Drugstore.
This is Western Union calling. I have a telegram for Mr. Alex Sturgis.
This is he speaking.
Will you accept the message over the telephone, Mr. Sturgis?
Yes, of course. Is that all?
That's all, Mr. Sturgis. There is no signature.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, it was bad enough having that detective snooping around, but now this telegram. Oh, don't take any more chances, Alex. Send the money.
No.
Alex, please. I'm frightened.
Listen, Lenore. Calm yourself. It's perfectly clear what happened. One of the bank robbers came with Kirk as far as the store. He must have been frightened away by the police. Now he's using this method to get the money. But he won't get it.
Why? What are you going to do?
I'm going to put a wad of blank paper in an envelope and mail it to that post office box. Then I'll stand watch at the post office and see who claims it.
And then what?
That money means everything to us, Lenore. I've already killed one man for it. If necessary, I'll commit another murder. I placed blank strips of paper in an envelope and mailed the envelope to that post office box. The next morning, I went to the post office and stood near the window, waiting for someone to come along and claim the envelope in box number 11. Hours passed. I got hungry. My legs began to shake from exhaustion. But I couldn't leave that spot. I meant to stay there until...
What are you waiting here for, Sturgis?
A voice cut through my thoughts. I looked up. It was Kelly, the policeman. He was suspicious.
The clerk noticed you hanging around and called for a cop.
It's nothing, Kelly. I arranged to meet my wife here. She's late.
Yeah, I saw your wife through the drugstore window as I came up the street. You must have forgotten all about your appointment. You'd better get back to the store, Sturgis.
I couldn't stay there after that. I walked around the block. When I came back, the policeman had disappeared. I entered, went to the window, and asked the clerk if anyone had claimed the mail in box 11. He nodded. The letter was gone. My plan to discover the identity of Kirk's confederate had failed. There was nothing to do but go back to the drugstore. It was empty. I felt a sense of danger as soon as I entered. So I closed the street door quietly. Walked as silently as I could to the door of the back room. It was open. And Lenore was at the telephone.
Hello. Hello, Empire?
Odell? Hello. Connect me with Mr. Biggert, please. Yes. Mr. Mark Biggert.
Hang up, Lenore. Oh. Hang up the receiver.
Alex!
You were calling that detective.
Suppose I was. What of it?
You were going to tell him about the money. You were going to double-cross me for the reward.
You're so smart, Alex. What are you going to do about it?
Lenore, don't you understand? I don't want the money for myself. I took it for you, to give you the things that will make you happy.
Big-hearted, unselfish Alex.
What are you laughing at?
I'll tell you why you took that money, Alex. You thought you could buy me with it. Well, you're wrong. I wouldn't stay with you if you had all the money in the world.
Oh, no. Would you leave me after all that's happened?
I'm packing up right now.
No.
You can't stop me.
I love you, Lenore. I did my best to hold you. If I can't have you, no one else will have you.
What do you mean? Alex, stay away from me.
I'm going to kill you, Lenore.
Alex, no. Don't.
I'm going to kill you, my darling.
Let go of my throat. Alex, please.
She's dead. All men kill the thing they love. And I've killed you, Lenore. I felt empty, drained of all emotion. I buried her body in the cellar of the drugstore. I was even a bit glad that it ended in this fashion. For now, Lenore would be with me forever. Did I say it was ended? I was wrong. I found no peace. For the very next morning, Biggert came to the drugstore.
Good morning, Sturgis. Nice morning, isn't it?
What do you want?
Just stopped by to have a chat, Sturgis. Been giving a lot of thought to the First National Bank robbery. You know, that night watchman came out of his coma this morning.
Why tell me about it?
I thought you might be interested. Here's an angle, Sturgis. The watchman says the robbery was pulled by only one man. One single crook, and he was shot. Nice angle, isn't it?
Is it?
Yes, it gave me a new idea, Sturgis. Now, I'm no Sherlock Holmes, but I figure it this way. That crook came in here and asked you to fix him up.
We've gone through this before.
I'm going to take it a little further, Sturgis. The crook asked you to fix him up, but you got a peek at all that money. So you let him die, took the money, and disposed of the body. How's that for a theory?
Very clever. Can you produce the body?
No, the police haven't been able to locate it, but I'm not discouraged, Sturgis. Those harness bulls aren't very smart. I'll find that body.
And when you do?
I'm an insurance company, Dick Sturgis. I want that $78,000. When I find that body, I'll come around here and you'll cough it up.
I've told you before, I know nothing about that robbery or the money. Now I've got work to do. Suppose you run along.
Okay, Sturgis. So long.
Hello. Sturgis Drugstore.
Western Union calling. I have a telegram for Mr. Alex Sturgis.
This is he speaking. Read it to me, please.
Is
there a signature?
No, sir. There's no signature, Mr. Sturgis.
I hung up. My head was reeling. But out of the confusion in my mind, one thought emerged. The night watchman had said Kirk had no Confederates in the bank robbery. Therefore, the person sending me the telegram must be Kirk. The salt water of the bay must have revived him. Kirk was still alive. I found Kirk's wallet on a shelf where Lenore had placed it the night all this began. From the driver's license, I copied his home address. I waited till after midnight and drove to Hillsboro, where I found Kirk's apartment in an old tenement building. The door was unlocked. I drew out my gun and entered. I meant to kill Kirk. I had to kill him. The living room was empty. No one was in the bedroom. I turned. Walk back to the living room.
Drop that gun, Sturgis. Quick, drop the gun, quick. I'm not taking any chances with you.
How did you know?
How did I know you were going to come here, Sturgis? Sit down in that chair by the table and I'll tell you.
You sent the telegram?
Yes, I sent them.
You got me to think that Kirk was still alive.
That's right.
And you followed me here. You trailed me.
It's all clear now, isn't it, Sturgis? You take two and two and add it up and it comes out four. Now, where's the money?
The money?
We're going to cut out the cute stuff, Sturgis. I want that money. Now, where is it?
It's in a medicine jar on a shelf in the back room of the drugstore.
All right, let's go, Sturgis. First, you'll give me the money. Then I'll take you down to police headquarters.
We drove to the drugstore. I led him into the back room. I knew exactly what I was going to do. On one of the shelves was a bottle of hydrochloric acid. Bigger thought it was the bottle containing the money. I reached up, uncorked the bottle, and flung the burning liquid into his...
Oh, I'm blind. I'll kill you for this, Sturgis. If I could only see you. Where are you, Sturgis? Sturgis! Sturgis, where are you?
I was huddled against the wall. He stood between me and the door, screaming in pain, firing his gun blindly. The first three shots missed, but the fourth bullet struck me in the stomach. The last thing I remember is Bigot running out of that room shouting for help. I lost consciousness soon after. When I came to, I found myself here in this hospital. You know the rest of the story, Doctor.
That's your confession, eh?
That's my confession.
Did you get all that down on paper, Mr. Bigot?
Got every word of it, Doctor.
Bigot, you... How did you get here? I thought... Hydrochloric acid.
You thought you blinded me permanently, but not enough of the stuff to get into my eyes to do any real damage.
Lenore. He's dead, Bigot.
I've seen a lot of funny cases in my time, Doc, but this beats them all. He is a man who commits murder to get a lot of stolen money for his wife. Then he kills his wife. And finally, he gets killed himself. And the money? The money is safe and sound in the bank safe deposit vault.
Oh, what a pity. Exit Sturgis. Yes, Bigot smoked him out just like a poor fish. Smoked Sturgis. Think of it, a respectable pharmacist ending up that way, and all because of his wife.
Now, there you go again, Mr. Host, always blaming it on a woman.
Oh, come, Mary, you know very well that was Lenore's fault. If you ask me, Alex should have tossed her oxide and tended to his business. He never would have been nabbed by the copper, but the fool, he didn't think of it. Now the world is iridium.
Goodness, Mr. Host.
And now, friends, a word of advice to all prospective murderers. Never fall in love with your victim because, as Oscar Wilde found out, it's so embarrassing to kill the thing you love. Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is The Pavilion by Hilda Lawrence. Good night. Pleasant dreams.
That's Inner Sanctum Mysteries, going back to January 22nd, 1946. The Confession. Paul McGrath is the host there. Santos Ortega, the star, is heard on CBS, sponsored by Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup. I could use a little Lipton Tea right now, Lisa. The show goes late. Here, I need caffeine.
That will be an easy request, Carl.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. If you were spinning the dial and you heard a classic radio show, that's because we do that here every Sunday night, going into Monday morning till 2 a.m. From 11 o'clock on Sunday nights till 2 a.m. on Monday morning, we play three classic radio shows here from the legendary WGN studios.
It always makes me laugh when you say spin the dial.
Spin the dial.
Nobody's
That's right.
clearly spinning.
Hey, you know what? We're going to give away
yes,
a $300 gift certificate for a 10-week acting class. This is basic skills, which is good for me.
You are basic.
I need some basic training at the Chicago Actors Studio, which is right here in Chicago. It's a terrific actor studio run by Ed Fogle, and he's given us some gift certificates to give away to our listeners. And all they have to do, Lisa...
They have to name that movie.
What movie? This is going back to 1982. Comedy. Sean Penn is the star. Take a listen.
Aloha. My name is Mr. Han.
That's all you get. The number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Win a $300 10-week acting class at the Chicago Actors Studio. We'll find our winner after this word.
Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. Let's play that movie clip again.
Aloha. My name is Mr. Han.
Well, I can't help but smile. We've got Jim on the line from Norridge. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Lisa. I'm going to say that's Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
What a classic. You are right. Do you love that movie?
Yeah, it's a hoot.
It's a hoot. I love that word. You know what? Jim, you are a winner, and this is a great prize. You've won a 10-week basic skills training program from the Chicago Actor Studio worth $300. I hope you're an aspiring actor, or at least will love that class.
Yeah, you know, class. It sounds like fun. It's something I've always wanted to do.
Oh, fantastic. Then you're the perfect winner. Thank you for calling, Jim.
Thank you.
Way to go, Jim. Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. I'm Carl Amari with Lisa Wolf here out of the Tribune Tower. It is about 8 minutes after midnight on Monday morning. Monday morning.
Yeah, I don't even feel tired.
Gosh,
when we're in here.
Yeah.
It's too
well,
exciting.
That's because we had a little tea.
A little
and,
tea.
And we had some pizza.
Yeah, I wasn't tired before that either.
And so if we're making you hungry, we're sorry. But we're going to give away some cookies from Cookies by Joey. The website is cookiesbyjoey.com.
That's right.
These are gourmet cookies, $25 gift certificate for whoever could name this movie, 1974 comedy with Gene Wilder.
Good night, Herr Doctor.
Good night, Frau Blücher.
The number to call, 312-981-7200. Call now. Phone lines are open. Win a $25 gift certificate for Cookies by Joey, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
And welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. Let's hear that movie clip again.
Good night. Herr Doctor.
Good night, Frau Blücher.
Tommy from Chicago, do you know that movie?
Yes, I sure do. That's Mel Brooks' hilarious Young Frankenstein.
Yes, it is. 1974 comedy. What did you think of that movie?
It's just hilarious.
It's
like
a good one.
It's just fantastic.
That was a good clip, too, Carl. Good job. So, you know what? You have won Cookies by Joey. That's a $25 gift certificate. It's located here in Wheeling, but they ship all over the world. I think you're going to love them. They're delicious. We had them tonight. So, congratulations, Tommy.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tommy. Hey, before we get into our classic comedy, Duffy's Tavern, I want to talk about Ed Sohosky's communication. So Ed is here, and he is taking photographs of us, right? And
yes.
Lisa wore makeup, which is nice.
Just a little bit.
I wore my makeup,
you
too.
You look great.
Yeah. And Ed said he can make me 4 inches taller and 20 pounds lighter.
That would be a trick.
But Ed's company is really great because not only does he take, like, let's say you had a product that you wanted to take a picture for your, you know, for
a
website or something like that. He has a full photography, but they do short films. They build websites. They've built over 200 websites. So a lot of our listeners might be thinking, hey, I need a website, right? I don't know where to go. Well, there's a local company here. It's called Sohosky Communications, and Ed is here, and he works with our executive producer, Mike Costella. Mike, you can definitely endorse Ed, right?
Definitely. I've done some audio work with him. I've done some video work with him. He does a great job.
Well, then that's why we want to endorse him here.
But you might want to spell his last name because it is quite complicated.
Here's the website, folks. It's Sohosky Communications. And it's Sohacki Communications.com. The number to call, jot this down. If you're interested in a website or photography for any products, just call 312-213-0121. Once again, Sohacki Communications, Sohacki Communications.com. Right, Lisa?
Yeah, happy to have him here. We're using him here, and we're really excited to have him do this on-location lifestyle photography for
right.
us.
Right, and you know what? I have a face for radio, and he's making it look better.
Well, let's wait and see how that goes for you.
All right, Duffy's Tavern. This is, you know, one of my favorite comedy shows, and I know one thing. It's my brother's favorite comedy show. He loves this series. And we're going to tune this in right now. This is going back to February 9th, 1949. It's called Archie Has 3 Days to Live. This was a radio show, Lisa, that was broadcast out of New York for most of its run, although Ed Gardner, who was the star, did take it and broadcast it out of Puerto Rico in the last few years of its run for tax reasons. He was saving some money by doing that. And this was all about a flea-infested dive of a tavern in New York, and all these fun characters would come in, and really it was a precursor to Cheers, the television series. Mm-hmm. This is like a radio version of Cheers, and in fact, the creator of Cheers was the head writer on this series, so there is really a connection here.
Everything comes back again, Carl.
All right, let's tune this in. Part one now of Duffy's Tavern.
Vitalis for well-groomed hair and Truche, the hand lotion with the beforehand extra, bring you Duffy's Tavern, starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern, where the elite meet the eat. Archie, the genial manager, speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. And how are you this lovely evening, my good man? Huh? No, I ain't got the pip. No, but I got a new philosophy. You see, by being nice to others, I find it makes me happy. In other words, do unto others, and you will find the blue beard of happiness yourself. And it wouldn't hurt you none to practice what I preach, Duffy. Well, like with your wife, don't just walk up to her and tell her she's a big fat horse. Even if it's true. It'd be so much nicer to say, my dear, it ain't that you're so big. It's just that the house is so small. Well, certainly, Duffy, don't forget, all men is cremated equal, and they would like to be treated as such. Well, think it over. I'll call you back. I got some work here that I got to cheerfully do. Okay, Eddie, get me a pail of hot water and a mop, will you?
What, you gonna take a bath?
No, I'm gonna mop up the place now. Let me get to work here.
You? Going to work?
Is it such a surprise?
Well, up to now, it's been one of your hidden talents.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's all been changed, Eddie. I'm even gonna help you to do your work now. Hand me the mop.
Okay, but don't get too close to me.
Why not?
Well, whatever you got, I don't want to catch it. Look, how come you suddenly want to do my work?
Eddie, just because a guy wants to help people, do you have to be suspicious?
If the guy is you and the people is me, yes.
Eddie, I'll let you in on a secret. You see, I got a new philosophy. Considering others. You see, I've been taking an inventory of myself.
You have?
Yeah.
How much are you short?
Look, I'm serious. If a guy is going to be happy in this world, he's got to help thy neighbor. He's got to be sweet, kind, considerate, and polite, and courteous.
Well, if you ask me...
Shut up, I'm talking. I find all you need to be happy is your health and a few good friends.
Counting an awful lot on health, ain't you?
Why not? I just had a physical checkup from Dr. Conklin. He said there was nothing wrong with me.
Nothing wrong, huh? Did he check your credit rating?
Okay, Eddie, slap me on the other cheek. You're still my friend. Now, please step aside while I mop the floor.
Sure wish I had known a little while ago you was gonna mop the floor.
Why?
I could have put up bleachers and charged admission.
Say, Archie.
Oh, good evening, Miss Duffy, and how are you this evening?
Why don't you keep your big mouth shut?
About what?
About that advice that you gave Papa on the telephone.
All I told him was to be nice to your mother. What was wrong with that?
Plenty. In trying to be nice, he sneaked up behind Mama and put his arms around her. That's what started the trouble.
How come?
She hollered, Papa, come quick. There's a strange man in the house. So, one word led to another, and Papa wound up with a cracked skull. Well,
words can't crack a guy's skull.
They can when they're in a 2,000-page dictionary. You and your philosophy.
What's wrong with philosophy? Remember, philosophy is the one thing that makes man the superior, if not the equal, of the beast. Oh, hello, Finnegan.
Well, I went down to the employment agency you sent me to.
Good. How'd you make out?
They asked me a lot of questions and gave me a bunch of tests till I found out the thing that I was best suited for.
What was that?
Unemployment.
But, Finnegan, you can't make a career out of unemployment.
Maybe not, but it makes an awful nice sideline. But thanks for trying to help me, Art.
Well, Finnegan, your happiness is mine.
Hiya, fellas.
Oh, hello, Mr. Marie.
Hello, Joe. How's the wife and kids and Vitalis? Holy cat, I'm even being nice to a radio announcer. Joe, I heard your program tonight.
All right, we can do without the nasty cracks.
No, Joe, I was
I know how your mind works. You were going to say, I heard your program under very unfavorable conditions. The radio was on.
Honest, Joe, that was the
Arch, I'm sick and tired of your insults.
Joe, I've changed. I was about to say, I think you're great. I even wrote a letter to the Vitalis people about you.
Oh, trying to get me fired, huh?
Not at all. Me letter told them what a nice, soft voice you have.
I see, trying to make them think I don't speak loud enough for people to hear what I have to say.
Joe, you got me wrong. I even told them how all the customers here in the tavern really love you, you know? How we in the tavern are all great fans of yours.
Oh, fine. Now they'll think all my friends are bums.
Look, Joe, you're making a mistake. I'm your pal. You see, I use Vitalis.
Well, what do you want, a medal? Lloyd Mangrum uses Vitalis. Craig Wood uses it. Gene Sarazen uses it.
Well, Joe, I just told you, I do, too.
Oh, and I suppose you think you're as good a golfer as they are.
Joe, I didn't say that.
No?
No.
So now I'm a liar.
Look, Joe, I'm a friend of yours. You got no right saying things like that.
Now he's trying to tell me what I can say.
Look, Joe.
Listen, Arch, if I want to say the Vitalis 60-second workout helps stimulate the scalp and gives it a wonderful, refreshing, tingling sensation, and it also routs loose dandruff and helps check excessive falling hair, well, by George, I'm going to say it.
Now, look,
and
Joe,
if I want to say that Vitalis keeps your hair well-groomed, I'm going to say that, too.
Joe, not so loud. You're annoying a customer.
Oh, yeah? This is still a free country. I'd like to see you or anybody else stop me from saying that Vitalis tames down dry, hard-to-manage hair.
Okay, Joe. Go ahead and say it if it makes you happy. Go right ahead and talk about Vitalis to your heart's content.
Oh, so now you're trying to make me a blabbermouth.
Please, indulge yourself. Tell me about Vitalis. Go on, Joe. Please.
I'm not talking.
Ah, come on, Joe. Say something.
Okay. Good night.
What an attitude. Thank goodness I got a philosophy.
Look, Socrates. You're going to go on being nice to people till you ain't going to have a friend left.
Yeah, it's beginning to look that way. Hello? Who's this? Oh, Dr. Kunkel's nurse? Hiya, honey. Eddie, there are a couple of things in the kitchen I'd like to... You have to get after.
Yeah. A couple of things in the kitchen would like to get after me.
Look, Eddie, I'm insinuating that I'd like a little privacy here.
Oh, okay, friendly one.
Sit down. pardon the interruption, honey. Oh. Oh, hello, Dr. Conkle. Well, doctor, did you get a report on me physical checkup? Well, how am I? Huh? I'm a what? A hypochondriac? No kidding. The worst case you've ever seen? Well, what can I do for it? Go up to the Catskills and get some peace and rest? But before I leave town, you want your money, huh? You'll give me 3 days... Just a minute, Miss Duffy. I'm talking to me doctor. Now, look, doctor. Huh? Well, how much time did you say I got? You'll only give me 3 days. Hmm?
3 days? Oh, poor Archie.
Quiet. Look, Doc, you couldn't make that a week, could you? No, huh? Well, you say 3 days. 3 days it is. Thanks for calling.
Archie, the doctor only gives you 3 days?
Yeah, Miss Duffy, but I'd rather you didn't tell nobody about it, huh?
Archie, it'll be our secret. You have my word as a woman.
Thanks.
Hello, Vera. Did you hear about Archie? He only has 3 days to live. Yeah, 3 days. Oh, incidentally, I bought the darling his hat yesterday.
Hey, Mr. Moran, you hear about Mr. Archie?
What?
He only got 2 days to live.
Colucci, did you hear about Archie? He only has 1 day to live.
Eddie, did you hear about Archie?
What?
He's dead. Just think. Poor Archie dead. Well, that's life.
Well, I suppose it's better to have lived and died than never to have died at all.
Eddie, I was just... Oh, hello, gang. I said hello. Well, why don't somebody say something?
Hello, Miss Archie.
Hello, Archie.
Goodbye, Archie. I mean, hello.
Look, gang, I got some news for you. See, I spoke to me doctor, and, well, it looks like I'm going on a little journey.
What a beautiful way to put it.
Archie, I want you to know that we're going to miss you.
Well, thanks, Miss Duffy, but I think it'll be a good thing to get away from the tavern, you know, kind of get close to the soil.
Archie!
What's the matter? I think I'm pretty lucky. There ain't everybody that can go away at this time of the year.
Yeah, it is a nice season for it.
By the way, I brought you sort of a going-away gift.
Oh, ain't that sweet. Lilies.
How do you feel, Archie?
Well, not too bad, considering, but I'll be glad to get away. You know, the last couple of days I've had kind of a boxed-in feeling.
Well, naturally.
Look, fellas, if you'll excuse me, I ain't got much time, and I got a lot of plans to make. I'm trying to figure out what place I should go to.
You got a choice?
Sure, but I ain't quite decided yet.
Ain't that kind of decided for you?
Not at all. I'm trying to figure out which place would be the least crowded.
Oh. Hey, got a housing problem there, too.
Sure, them places do big business all year round. Incidentally, gang, there'll be certain financial arrangements in connection with this little trip that,
Financial arrangements?
Yeah, you know, a guy like me likes to travel first class, you know, in a private compartment. In other words, I don't want a lot of other people piled in with me.
Yeah, especially strangers.
Yeah, that's right. So, I was wondering...
How much money you need?
Well, it depends. I suppose I could cut expenses a little.
How?
Well, I could go sitting up. But it still takes a little going, you know?
Yeah. Excuse me a minute, Mr. Archer.
Okay, Eddie.
Look, Finnegan, Miss Duffy.
Yeah?
The man needs a little money for a funeral.
I know what you're going to say, Eddie, and I think you're right. At a time like this, his friend should help him.
Yeah. Because when you think of it, he ain't been such a bad guy.
Yeah, that's right. Besides, he might come back and put a case on it. Hey, look, how much will the funeral cost?
I don't know, but I'll put in a couple of dollars for the flowers.
Yeah, and I'll put in a couple of dollars towards the undertaker.
Well, I only got 2 bits, but at least it'll buy one of the handles.
That's the first portion of Duffy's Tavern, February 9th, 1949. Archie only has 3 days to live, starring Ed Gardner. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm Carl Amari, and we'll get back to Duffy's Tavern in just a few minutes. It's time now to win another 10-week acting class, basic skills, at the Chicago Actors Studio right here in Chicago. So this is a $300 gift certificate for 10 full weeks of acting classes. And the number to call, 312-981-7200, if you can name this 1990 crime drama starring Ray Liotta.
As far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
All right, if you know that movie, call us, 312-981-7200, and win a gift certificate for Chicago Actors Studio. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. Let's play that movie clip again.
As far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Ooh, a gangster. Let's look. Talk to Natalie on the line from Highwood. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Do you know that movie clip, Natalie?
I do. It's Goodfellas.
You are absolutely correct, Natalie. You are a winner. You've won a 10-week basic skills training program at the Chicago Actors Studio worth $300. What a great gift. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
We're so glad that you were able to play with us on WGN Radio Theater. Thank you.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm Carl Amari. We play classic radio shows, The Shadow, Jack Benny, Boston Blackie, Suspense, The Whistler, Gunsmoke. They go on and on, Lisa Wolf.
Keep going, Carl.
And we play them every Sunday night starting at 11 p.m. here on WGN, going into Monday morning till 2 a.m. So 3 hours on the air from this legendary station. We play classic radio shows. Make sure that you tell a friend and tune us in every Sunday into Monday morning. Our website is WGNRadioTheater.com. We have our whole schedule there, and we have our Twitter and our Facebook as well, right?
Right, and pictures of Carl.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. All right, so before we tune into part two of Duffy's Tavern, I thought we'd give away 2 tickets to see Oleana at the Skokie Theater. It's a great play. And 2 tickets to see that. Now, the number to call is 312-981-7200. If you can name this 1992 crime drama starring Harvey Keitel.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
All right, if you can name that movie, call us, 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open. We'll be right back. All right, Lisa, it is time to find a winner.
All right, let's play that movie clip again.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
And we have Dustin on the line from Wheaton. Hey, Dustin.
Hey.
Hey, good morning. Do you know that movie?
That would be Reservoir Dogs.
Yes, it would be Reservoir Dogs. And guess what?
What?
You have won 2 tickets to the Skokie Theater to see Oleana by David Mamet. Are you a fan of theater?
No, my girlfriend is.
There you go. So oh, you pretend for the weekend. So congratulations, you are a winner. That is running through May 10th, and I hope you love it.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. You know, I am not surprised that our listeners are so smart, but they call up. They always get it. They get these movies. I think we have to make them tougher because they're just too smart.
You know what? They're short, but sometimes when you say the actors who are starring in them, you give them
I know,
away.
But I mean, I'm playing like a 5-second clip, and they're all calling and getting all across the country, too. Real quick, before we get into Duffy's Tavern, I want to tell you something, Lisa.
Yes,
this you may not be happy to hear this, but you're a boomer. Did you know that?
A boomer?
You are a boomer.
I'm a baby boomer.
I'm a boomer. You're a boomer. And there's a catalog for boomers and beyond. So people our age, I'm 51.
Or so.
I'm 51.
Hey,
and you're right around that same age. You're a little younger, but you're right around the same age.
I'm a boomer.
And here's the thing. There's a catalog that has been put together that has products to serve us and for people even a little older than us, and it's called First Street. It's a mail-order catalog, an online store featuring hundreds of products uniquely suited for boomers and beyond, including the Jitterbug cell phone, magnifiers, the Wow computer, the Jacuzzi walk-in tub. If you're a senior, First Street products will help you remain independent and live life on your terms. To receive your First Street catalog, Call toll-free 877-505-4272. Do you know of anybody that sends a catalog out anymore?
No, but they do. Like to have a catalog. It's sometimes
it's full
you
color.
Want actual pages in your hand.
This is they call it a hard copy.
Right.
As opposed to going online, although they do have a website, too.
I'm sure.
But I think it's fun to get the catalog and peruse it. So the number to call to get the catalog, 877-505-4272, or log on to getfirststreet.com, getfirststreet.com. The catalog and the call are free. There's no obligation to buy. Just call today, 877-505-4272, or visit getfirststreet.com. All right, are you ready for part two of Duffy's Tavern?
Oh, you bet.
All right, February 9th, 1949 is the original broadcast date. Archie has 3 days to live. It stars Ed Gardner. Here's part two of Duffy's Tavern.
Okay, let's tell him the good news. Mr. Archie.
Yes?
What I want to say is, we got together a little sinking fund for you.
Oh, gee. Thanks, fellas.
So we'd like you to take this money. It ain't much, but at least it'll be enough to cover you part of the way.
Ken, you know, this quickens me to the hilt. I really don't know what to say. Certainly am going to miss you all. Hey, maybe you'd like to come along with me.
Watch, there's a limit to friendship.
Well, anyway, I want you to know I sure appreciate it. And another thing, I want you to know that I'm going to pay this money back. Every cent of it.
When?
As soon as I return.
You're coming back?
Well, of course.
Oh. Well, rap 3 times on the table so we'll know it's you.
Crabtree, Finnegan, what is all this nonsense? The way you people is acting, you think I was going to my grave.
Eddie, shall we tell him?
Yeah, but be diplomatic. See, break it kind of gentle.
Oh, I'll be very gentle. The Arch, there's something we've been wanting to tell you.
Yes, Finnegan?
You're about to croak off.
What?
That's right, Miss Archer.
Don't be ridiculous, Eddie. It's going to be a long time before they bury me.
Maybe so, but for the next 3 days, don't lay down in your tuxedo.
Wait a minute. What's all this talk about dying?
Miss Archer, see, we felt that we really ought to tell you.
Well, certainly. Everybody in the neighborhood knows that you're going to die.
That's right, Archer, and you can't disappoint them.
Everybody in the neighborhood knows. How come I'm just finding out about it?
Well, you know the old saying, the corpse is always the last one to know.
Wait a minute. Hello? Oh. Waiter.
Who was that?
Cavendish, the undertaker.
What do you want?
Measurements. Miss Duffy, are these guys on a level with this talk about me dying?
Sorry, Archie, but it's true.
Well, how long did they give me?
Well, the smart money says 3 days.
3 days? Oh, no, it can't be.
You went for that physical checkup, didn't you?
Well, sure.
What did the doctor say?
Well, not much. I spoke to him on the phone. He said I should get peace and rest. Hey, wait a minute. Did he say peace and rest or rest and peace? Hey, wait a minute. There's another thing. No wonder he was in such a hurry to get his money. Eddie, this is terrible. The doctor must have told everybody but me.
He probably won't spare your feelings.
Well, how long did you say I got?
3 days.
3 days. Give me that phone.
Who are you going to call?
Peaches Latour, the striptease. I'm going to make a date for Saturday night.
A date with Peaches, your last night on Earth?
Eddie, you leave the world the way you want, and I'll leave the way I want. Hello? Hello, Peaches? Archie, what are you doing Saturday night? Well, I thought maybe you and me could go and have dinner and movie, and maybe later on catch me funeral. Oh, haven't you heard? But, darling, the word is all over town. I'm dying by Saturday. Huh? So what about the date? You'd rather make it Sunday. Well, Look, I'll try, but if I don't seem very affectionate, I hope you'll understand. Okay, Peaches, if I don't see you in the meantime, maybe I'll see you up in the great beyond on that little runway in the sky. Okay, Peaches. Poor kid, she's sure gonna miss me. Look, hold on to me arm, will you, Finnegan?
What's the matter, Ross?
Well, this pain, it's getting a lot worse.
What pain?
This disease of mine.
What kind of a disease is it, Ross, do you know?
Well, it's called a hypo something or other. As I understand it, it's a rare disease not even known to man. In fact, the only time you ever run across it is in crossword puzzles.
I see. Nobody knows what it is, huh?
Nope. For years, the Rockefeller Foundation has been working day and night trying to perfect it. But they're still wandering in the dark.
But, Art, you study chemistry. Don't you even know what it is?
Well, I have my personal theory. You see, the way I figure it is, the blood, or as us chemists call it, the H2O, is composed of two parts, you see. First, there's the red corpuscles.
Yeah.
And then there's the white corpuscles, you see. Now, as we all know, these red corpuscles are rather prone to chase after the white corpuscles.
Why?
Well, it's like the birds and the bees.
Oh.
Yeah, well, anyway, all this horsing around tends to start... start an internal combustion in the bloodstream. Well, when this bloodstream reaches high tide, it overflows into the elementary canal. Well, brother, once this happens, you're in trouble. Especially if it catches you between the fibia and the tibia.
Oh, ain't there no cure for it?
Nope, I'm the first case to die from it. But it makes me feel that I haven't lived in vain, you know? At least I've been a guinea pig for humanity. Who knows? Someday people might scratch their tibias and say, holy cat, I got the Archie pox.
You're right. Hey, Arch, you're shaking.
Yeah, I guess I am. Well, it looks like this is it. Guess I'm a little ahead of schedule. I wonder what I ought to do in these last few moments.
Well, Arch, the funeral is liable to be very fatiguing. Why don't you lay down and take a nap?
No, Finnegan, these last minutes, I want to be with me friends. Matty, the fiddle, please. Lay me down here, boys. Come on, gang. Form a circle. Gang, it ain't often that a man dies, but this is one of those sad occasions. And I want you to know that I'm going to miss you. Finnegan, old pal.
Yeah.
Soon we'll be far apart. I'll be dead and you'll be... Well, I guess we won't be too far.
Arch, please don't go.
I have to, Finnegan. I've been called.
Arch, we've been good friends for a long time, right?
Right, Clifton?
Would you do me a favor?
Certainly, old pal.
Well, I'd like your permission to... Well, that is... Could I...
Get to the point, old man. Could you what?
Arch, could I have you stuffed...
No, Finnegan, I'm sorry, old man, but I'd rather you remembered me just the way I am. Well, gang, I guess there's nothing left to be said. So I'd like to take this opportunity to bow out.
Miss Duffy, quick, get down to the corner and see if you can get Dr. Conklin.
Okay.
Boys, I'm afraid this is goodbye.
Bye, Arch.
Bye, Finnegan.
Goodbye, Miss Archer.
Bye, Eddie. Well, I guess this is it.
Poor Arch. He's gone.
Oh, by the way, I think it'd be nice if, before I go, somebody would say a few kind words over me remains.
Well, I'll take a stab at it, Doc.
Thanks, Finnegan.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Billy Beloved, on this sad occasion, I want you to know,
Finnegan, I ain't got much time.
Oh, don't be in such a rush. On this occasion, I would like to drink a toast.
Thank you, Clifton.
To Arch. Here's mud in your eyes.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry, Arch.
Well, all right, I understand. Well, boys, I'm getting weaker by the moment. Better gather in a little closer. I want to save me breath for the death rattle. Well, so long, gang. Hello. Look, Duffy, don't bother me. I'm busy dying. Well, goodbye, gang.
Hold it, Arch. Here comes Miss Duffy with the doctor.
Now, what is all this about? Where is the patient? Oh. Say, he is dead.
No, I'm Finnegan. That's the corpse over there.
Let me feel his pulse.
It's too late, Doc. I ain't got no pulse left.
Just a minute. Mm-hmm. Exactly what I thought. Archie, there's only one thing wrong with you.
What is it, Doctor?
You don't pay your bills.
You mean I'm alive?
Of course. Not a thing in the world wrong with you.
Finnegan, Eddie, did you hear that? I'm alive.
Now, Archie, about my bill.
Yeah?
As I told you, I'm going to give you exactly 3 days to pay it.
3 days to pay the bill? So that's what you were talking about on the telephone.
I don't know what you're talking about. Quiet, Miss Duffy. Look, Doc, stop worrying. I got the dough. Here.
Archie, that's the money we put up for the funeral.
Yeah, if you ain't going to die, at least give us our dough back. Trick.
Now, just a minute, gang. Before you get mad, I wish you'd listen to the old philosopher. You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you'll find that in giving, you yourselves have begat. In other words, do unto others, and you will find the road to happiness.
Drop dead.
It's time now to leave Duffy's Tavern for this evening, but let's meet here again at the same time next Wednesday. Duffy's Tavern is brought to you by Vitalis for well-groomed hair and Truchet, the hand lotion with the beforehand extra. Each Wednesday, Bristol Myers brings you Duffy's Tavern and Mr. District Attorney, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's Duffy's Tavern, one of the best comedy shows of the golden age of radio, Lisa, going back to February 9th, 1949. Ed Gardner sort of created this show. He was a writer on the show, and he was the star of the program. It's interesting, too, when he created this program back in the very early 40s, he was trying to find someone to play the manager of the tavern, you know, Archie the manager, because Duffy was never there. He never showed up. He was an absentee owner. And he was trying to find someone with this Brooklynese kind of accent, as you hear. And he auditioned hundreds and hundreds of actors, couldn't find anyone. And one of the directors just said, why don't you just do it? You know, why don't you just play the part? He said, yeah, you know, maybe I will. And he was married to Shirley Booth. You know who Shirley Booth is?
Hazel.
Yeah, Hazel. Very good, Lisa. Mm. And so she played Miss Duffy, who was the man-crazy, man-hungry daughter of the owner of the tavern, of Duffy. So right. She was Miss Duffy, the daughter. And so the guests that would come in there, Vincent Price, whoever it was, she was always trying to get a date with them. She was great. There was lots of different Mrs. Duffy's or Miss Duffy's because they got divorced, Ed Gardner and Shirley Booth, so she was off the show once they were divorced. But this was just a terrific series. And as I said, the head writer of Duffy's Tavern was the father of the creator of Cheers.
All right.
So,
see?
You know.
And what a successful show.
The writer was Abe Burrows, and the son is James Burrows. So there's a lot of these classic radio shows that have a connection to TV shows of today. We're going to go to news here in just a minute, but I do want to remind our listeners we have a website, which is it's just WGNRadioTheater.com. That's our website. We have our full schedule there, and we have our Twitter and our Facebook. And it would be awesome, absolutely awesome, folks, if you would go to our website or search us on your Facebook and like us. We'd love to build our Facebook. We'd love it if you'd post to us and write in what you'd like to hear.
And our Facebook is WGN Radio Theater.
Okay. And I would love it if you'd post and tell us what you'd like to hear and we'll play it. And that's our theme song, Lisa. And that means it's time for more of the WGN Radio Theater. This is the third hour. It is 6 minutes after 1 a.m, Monday morning here on WGN, right here from the Tribune Tower. Do you ever think this would happen? I mean, I've been doing radio since 1981, my first year of college, okay? And I was on Triton College Radio, WRRG, and I've been on a lot of stations in Chicago. Some great stations throughout Chicago, but none that has the legendary, the name like WGN, who's been around for over 90 years, the station. It's even older than us.
Even older than you. I don't know. We've been talking about WGN for a long time,
yeah.
So I know this is a dream come true for both of us.
I used to be on with Eddie Schwartz a lot. He was the king of late night radio, and he used to have me on and playing classic radio shows, and he was terrific to me. And I love Eddie Schwartz, and he's passed now, unfortunately. But I used to sit across from him and just dream about someday having my own show on this station where I can play classic radio shows for almost really the whole nation because this station reaches 40 states, right, Dan? I mean,
yeah, somewhere in the ballpark, like 38, 39, 40, yeah, somewhere around there.
That's the great Dan Long. He is our producer here on the WGN Radio Theater. He does an amazing job, and somehow, some way, he even makes me sound good. I don't know how that's possible, but terrific job, Dan. And Mike Costella is here, my exec producer, and Lisa Wolf,
yes,
the lovely and vivacious.
I think I just keep following you around.
The
right?
Va 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 voom.
I think
Lisa
I'm
Wolf.
You to Eddie Schwartz.
Really?
Because I'm the one sitting here, and you're my mentor. I hate to say it, but I'll say it. So.
Well, you're prettier than I was.
Well, that's
true. You know the way it works.
I'll take that.
And you're starting to really get these classic radio shows. You're starting to understand the magic of these programs.
Well, you know, we've known each other for a long time now, and we've been working
together.
When
we first started working together, you were like, what's a classic radio show? I have no idea.
Pretty much. It's been an education for the last, 7 years.
And, you know, there are people listening right now that are in the earshot of us, okay? They're tuning in, they're listening to the show, and they may have never heard a classic radio show before. Folks, these shows were on the air in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Before television, right?
Yes.
And people would sit around the radio and listen to these dramas, the westerns, the detectives, the comedies. And we have a detective coming up in just a few minutes, one of the best. Howard Duff stars as Sam Spade. We'll have that for you in just a minute. But we give our listeners an opportunity to win some fun prizes. And we had some pizza earlier.
Yes, we did.
And we are going to give away a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, $25 gift certificate. And I know our listeners love Lou Malnati's. They have 37 locations all across the city. So visit their locations. And all we ask you to do is name this movie. Now, this is going back to 1992. It's a comedy starring Mike Myers. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Call that number now if you can name this movie.
If you blow chunks and she comes back, she's yours. If you spew and she bolts, it was never meant to be.
Right? That's like you, Lisa. You know, if you decide to not do this show with me anymore,
then it wasn't meant to be.
You know, it's just not meant to be.
Yeah,
and I hope that never happens.
You're stuck with me, Carl.
I hope that never happens.
You're stuck.
All right, so give us a call right now, 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
Okay, so we're back to the WGN Radio Theater. Let's hear that movie clip again.
If you blow chunks and she comes back, she's yours. If you spew and she bolts, it was never meant to be.
Well, now that's
some prophetic,
movie clip.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that is something. So we've got Sue on the line from Elmwood Park. Hey, Sue.
Hi.
I'm guessing you know this movie. I don't know. It's so unique. I don't think any other movie could have those exact words. What do you think?
No, not at all. That's Wayne's World.
That is Wayne's World, 1992, with Mike Myers. There's nothing else like it, that's for sure, Sue. You are our lucky Lou Malnati's winner. We are so proud to have Lou Malnati's as a sponsor. You have got a $25 gift certificate. I hope you love the pizza, and even more so, I hope you'll share that with us sometime.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I will. Come on out.
Terrific. Thanks a lot, Sue.
Congratulations. Appreciate it. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We play classic radio shows for 3 hours here Sunday nights into Monday morning from 11 p.m. Sunday nights till 2 a.m. on Monday morning. And it is just about 13 minutes after 1 in the morning here on WGN live from the Showcase Studio. Yeah, you can walk by on Michigan Avenue. And there's a couple people right
wave.
There. Hi.
See?
A couple of people walking by right there. They can take a look at the lovely Lisa Wolf.
Right.
And I got a text earlier saying, are you and Lisa married? No. We're not. Well, Lisa's married. I'm not married. But Lisa is.
But we're not married,
we're
to,
not
each
married
other.
To each other. No.
Right. But we're radio.
But we do love each
wife.
Other. We are best buddies.
You can tell, can't you?
Best buddies.
I think that comes
We've known
through.
Each other, what, 6 years? 6, 7 years?
No, it's more.
No, I think it's been two.
Listen.
Too long.
Too long for
yeah,
you.
That's what I think. We're best buddies.
And
Lisa's been married, what, 26 years to Dan Wolf, her awesome
listen,
husband?
Don't make me count the years.
It's a lot of years.
It's just a long time.
And you know what? He's a nice guy to let you come out here on a Sunday night.
He's fast asleep.
And do this radio show with me every Sunday.
That's right.
We appreciate
that. With you is the key word here.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Dan. Okay, it is time for another classic radio show, Lisa. It is time for The Adventures of Sam Spade. This was a detective character created by Dashiell Hammett. Now, he's best known as the guy that created the Maltese Falcon. And his style was with detectives was hard-boiled, kind of cold detachment. His detectives had a keen eye for detail. They were determined to achieve justice. And you may recall that Humphrey Bogart played Sam Spade in the 1941 film The Maltese Falcon. And that was so popular that by 1946, William Spear, who was one of the best directors of all of radio, brought the series to radio, brought the character of Sam Spade to radio. And they hired Howard Duff, who was a newcomer, really hadn't done anything. And he auditioned for the part, and he was just perfect for it, Howard Duff. And then they had Lorene Tuttle was his secretary, Effie Perrine. Now, Hammett had created other detectives, too. He created the Fat Man and the Thin Man and Sam Spade. So we are going to tune this in now. This is going back to a broadcast date of August 22nd, 1948. It's called The Vapio Cup Caper, and it stars Howard Duff as The Adventures of Sam Spade.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective, brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic, the non-alcoholic hair tonic that contains lanolin. Wild Root Cream Oil, again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Detective Agency.
That is the correct answer. You have just won $104 million, 6 deep freeze units, a stable of polo ponies with matching saddle soap, a terry cloth robe with chocolate bars pre-melted in pockets, and a full-size, real, honest-to-goodness dreadnought, such as is used by Uncle Sam's Navy.
Oh, I'm sorry you have to call back.
I'm expecting to be taking dictation from my employer very shortly.
Oh, I am sorry. Your time is up. And Edna St. Vincent Markowitz, who sent in the question, gets bumped off in front of the studio audience gathered in the Dredgewood Room here in Columbia Square. Next night, don't answer your phone, stupid.
Oh, Sam.
Let's have no coaching, please.
Oh, well, did you find the cop? Was it murder? Was it really worth, well, you know, priceless and like that, and was it fun?
Yes, 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 and no. And finally, are you kidding?
Well, then why was it called the Vafio Cup?
It's a very old Greek expression, which is what I'll be wearing as I sit in your lap dictating my report on the Vafio Cup caper.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with the adventures of Sam Spade. Presented by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. Date, August 22nd, 1948, to Jethro Chiswick, Esquire.
Oh, spelling, Sam.
E-S-Q-U...
No, Sam, I meant the name. It's, Chisro Jethwick.
I did not say Chisro Jethwick. I said Jethro Chiswick. I mean, Chisro... look, we'll check it later.
Oh, Sam, it might... I have an uncle in Berkeley named Smithwick.
Leave your family out of this, Eph.
But he's only by marriage, Sam. It's quite a common name.
Name three people named Chiswick.
No, Smithwick, Sam. Now, let's see, there's Uncle George and Aunt Amelia by a previous marriage. Then there's my cousin Rupert on the Christie side.
When you have finished ruminating amongst the foliage of your family tree, Miss Perrine.
Well, I only mentioned it in connection with that name
we'll
that you
stop
thought you...
All over again. Tear out that page.
Yes, Your Highness.
No, no, please. No need to curtsy. To Jethro Chiswick, no comment, please. From Samuel Spade, license number 137596. What's that?
Nothing, Sam, nothing.
Subject, the Vafio Cup Caper. Dear Commodore, that's the way I like you. Meek. I had always considered myself fairly well-versed in the subject of cups. But if anybody had told me there was such a thing as a Vafio Cup, they could have knocked me over with one, which they did.
Mr. Spade?
Yeah?
I'm Chester A. Brody. I talked with your secretary on the phone. Do you follow?
Oh, yes, Mr. Brody. Sit down. Rest your package.
Thank you. I prefer to hold it for the time being. My card, sir.
Theophilus and Brody, importers and exporters. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Theophilus is my partner, Dimitri Theophilus. You follow?
I follow.
It was Mr. Theophilus who brought the Vafio Cup into the firm. I furnished the cash capital.
Vafio Cup, I do not follow.
Yes, indeed. The only one of these treasures to fall into private hands. One of the fabulous Vafio Cups. Those exquisite and cunningly wrought examples of the art of the ancient Grecian goldsmith. Excavated by the great Schliemann from a beehive tomb in Sparta.
Beehive?
Mycenaean age. Just west of the Lion Gate.
Oh, the Lion Gate. Pardon me, Mr. Brody. Are you trying to tell me that this cup is very valuable?
Priceless.
And that you have finally managed to find a buyer?
You follow?
And that you want me to deliver that package containing your priceless cup in return with your customer's cash?
Accurately put. I presume you're bonded.
Uncork me and see for yourself.
You are a droll fellow, to be sure.
I had a light breakfast of drolls and coffee. Now, what is this Vafio cup?
I will show it to you. You're about to see a treasure but few eyes have looked upon in our time, Mr. Spade. The Vafio cup. Handle it carefully. It's fragile. You could crush it in your hand like so much tinfoil. Yet this golden relic of a golden age has come down through the centuries miraculously unscathed. Note the delicately wrought lines of the bas-relief, the exquisite draperies on the figure of the caryatid, the anguish on the face of the fallen hunter, the sheer brute force of the wild boar charging to the kill. Holding this golden cup in your hands, you encompass 3,000 years. Do you comprehend why there's no question of insurance here?
Frankly, I don't.
My dear man, an item such as this is worth only as much as a collector will pay for it. This particular collector has offered $200,000. It might never be offered again. You follow?
I follow.
Very well. Here's your fee, $100.
I follow.
And here is the address of my client in Los Angeles, Commodore Jethro Chiswick.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
You will take the noon train. Any questions?
Yeah, why can't I go on a plane?
Because I've placed an item in this afternoon's papers to the effect that the treasure is to be transported by plane.
If I were a Ghanif and I read that item, I'd take the train.
That would be your first thought. Then you would think they're saying they're taking the plane to make me think they're taking the train. Therefore, you would take the plane after all. Or would you? If you were really clever, you might say they're taking the plane to make one think it's the train, so I'll take the plane after all, and therefore...
Never mind. By this time, he's decided on the bus. The train is perfectly safe.
You follow?
The package was light in the drawing room and the train was comfortable. Seemed like an easy way to earn $100. I knew it wouldn't last. Never does. I was prepared for the knock on the door and I got ready for the inevitable small dark man who plays the Peter Lorre part, but this one fooled me. He was a tall, thin actor with sandy hair.
Okay, Shamus, hand over the package. You won't be no trouble.
Sure, there it is on the seat. Take it.
Huh?
It's okay. You got me covered. I won't make any move.
Hey, what are you trying to pull?
It's a stick-up, isn't it?
Hey, maybe I got the wrong compartment.
No, that's it. The cup's in there. Unwrap it and see for yourself.
Oh, no, you don't. I ain't picking up no booby traps.
Oh, you're yellow, huh?
I know that one, too. I don't cut no ice for me.
Suit yourself. Game of gin?
Hey, you're nuts. I'm getting out of here.
Hey, wait a minute, pal. I'll buy you a drink.
I don't drink.
Lunch?
In a goop.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Spade, I agree. Clarence is a very comical fellow.
So are you.
I took the liberty of stepping into your forecastle whilst you had your bit of raillery in the after companionway with my mate, the Clarence. You mind?
Not at all.
Well, sir, I'm afraid you're going to mind a great deal.
Oh! And that's how I met you, Commodore. I was so busy sizing up the .45 in your right hand that I didn't even notice when you left, whipped out of your coat pocket with one of the largest saps I have ever felt. The next time I saw light, you were gone, the Vafio cup was gone, and the train was pulling into San Jose. I got off, rode back to San Francisco with a truckload of chickens, and headed straight for my client's apartment.
You got here quick.
Yeah.
Come in.
Thanks. Well?
Well, what?
Look, we can't both play this deadpan. We'll stay in the place.
It's in the back room.
What is?
The body. You're from the police, aren't you?
I'm a private dick.
How dare you?
Hey, what was that for?
For spying on me. You and all the other cheap gumshoes my husband hires.
You're Mrs. Brody?
I'm Enid Theophilus. Did my husband hire you?
My name is Sam Spade. I was hired by one Chester A. Brody, your husband's business partner.
Well, Sam, I hope he paid you in advance, because he's the body.
Chester A. Brody was just barely identifiable. Somebody had worked hard trying to persuade him to say or do something he either couldn't or wouldn't do. The only interesting clue was in the wastebasket. At first, I thought it was a flattened beer can. But it was the Vafio cup, or a facsimile thereof.
Well, how do you like it, Sam?
I don't. He was my client. I wasn't hired to protect him. I didn't like him, but he was my client.
How would you like me for a client?
I'll give you the name of a lawyer, sister.
My name is Enid.
Enid? Now, let's see what I can squeeze out of you before the cops do. Brody was your husband's business partner, and you're,
You don't have to be subtle. He was mad about me. I'm all broken up about his death.
So was he.
That wasn't funny.
That time I deserved it.
You don't like me, do you?
Can't you get it through that steel-jacketed brain of yours that you're in bad trouble, that there's a dead man in the next room, beaten to death, and you're not supposed to be here?
Oh, I was supposed to be here. We were going to elope as soon as you brought back the money from that Greek thing.
Yeah, what about that Greek thing?
It was an antique. It was called the Vafio cup.
Yes, I know about that.
Yes. Well, my husband dug it up in Greece and smuggled it into the country.
Yeah?
It was all he had, but it was such an important piece that he was able to persuade Chet, the late Chester Brody, that is, to let him in as a full partner.
Then what?
Well, they quarreled. My husband made some bad investments, and Chet wanted to sell the cup to save the firm. Dmitri refused. I didn't think it was fair, so I got the keys to his safety deposit box where the cup was, and Chet arranged to sell it to the Commodore. Did you get the money from the Commodore?
All I got from the Commodore was lumps.
He stole the cup?
Roger.
You've got to get it back.
I've got it.
Where?
Here, take a look.
It's ruined. Where did you find it?
In a trash basket where it belongs.
Dimitri did it. He must have suspected something and substituted a fake. That's it. He knows where the real one is.
Somebody thought that your boyfriend knew.
The one that killed him?
That's the way it looks. Maybe that's the way it was meant to look. You know, somebody might get the idea that you palmed the genuine when you got it out of that safety deposit box.
If I did, it was legal, and don't you forget it. A wife can't steal from her husband. Legally, they're one person. You can't steal from yourself. That's the law.
I was wrong. You don't need a lawyer.
Will you help me?
I may hurt you, and it'll cost you anyway.
I know what's good for me. Money. Find that cup.
I know what's good for me, too. So I took her $100, advised her to go home, and made for my own humble lodging. They were not only humble, they were crowded. The man was small, but the gun was enormous. I said, don't bother to introduce yourself. Your name is Dimitri Theopoulos, and you want this package that I'm carrying.
The makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the weekly Sunday adventure of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade.
All right, that's the first portion of The Adventures of Sam Spade with the Vapio Cup caper starring Howard Duff from 1948. We'll get back to that here on the WGN Radio Theater in just a moment.
Carl and Mike, we had a special guest in our studio tonight, and I want to share that information with you. His name is Ed Sohatsky from Sohatsky Communications, and he was here doing an on-location lifestyle photography thing for us, so we could.
It
have
was
some,
a thing.
It was a thing. It
really?
Was a photo shoot.
It was a photo
so
shoot.
So we can
right.
have some great photos for our social media, for our Facebook, for our Twitter. But he does.
I forgot to tell him this though. I'm in the witness protection program.
Oh
I
no!
I can't have my picture taken.
Oh no! Well, now we know. Maybe your photo doesn't even show up. I don't.
It probably
even know.
Doesn't because I'm a vampire.
You just don't even show up in photos. But we wanted to talk about him. I know Mike, our executive producer, has worked with him for years, and so we brought him into our WGN team tonight, and we're so happy to have him. And we wanted to share this with our listeners because he does so much more than photography shoots. He does websites. He's a real hands-on kind of guy. He's a full-service marketing and communications agency. So if you own a small business, you have some needs, we'd love to have you consider him. His name is Ed Sohatsky. It's spelled S-O-C-H-A-C-K-I. You can go to SohatskyCommunications.com or give him a call, 312-213-0121.
Yeah, he's a terrific guy, and give him some business. If you need a website, just go to his website and contact him. He'll build you the most awesome website. He's done over 200 websites, and he does all the photography and all the video and everything for it. So fantastic.
Full service organization.
All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm Carl Amari with Lisa Wolf here, along with Dan Long, my producer, and Mike Costello, my executive producer. And this is where we play classic radio shows every Sunday night into Monday morning. The best classic radio shows of all time. You name it, we have it here. Westerns, detectives, comedies, mysteries, sci-fi programs. We're going to play them all here on 720 WGN. Now, if you want to know what we're playing each week, just go to our website at WGNRadioTheater.com. And at that website, you can click on our Facebook or our Twitter. We would love it, absolutely love it, if you would go to our Facebook and post to us and like us and tell us what you want to hear. And we will definitely do that. We love reading your posts, and please follow us at Twitter. And Mike handles all that for us because I don't know how to do it. Right, Mike?
Absolutely. I'm not even sure I know how to do it.
No,
I'm
you
making
know
it
how to
happen.
Do it. He knows how to do it. I have no idea how to do it, but I love reading the posts.
But even throughout the show, we're checking the posts and,
yeah,
and commenting back, so we love to communicate with you. So let us know if you like us, and if you don't like us, then don't say
post.
Anything
yeah,
at
don't
all.
Post. Yeah. So a little bit later in the show, we're going to give you a chance to win some more fun stuff, including a $300 gift certificate to take 10 weeks of classes at the Chicago Actors Studio. We'll have that for you in just a minute. But it's time now to get back to Sam Spade. This is going back to August 22nd, 1948, the Vapio Cup caper. In our first half, we tuned into the first portion. Now it's portion two, starring Howard Duff in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
And now back to the Vapio Cup caper. Tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
He didn't answer me, so I said it again. Don't bother to introduce yourself. Your name is Dimitri Theopoulos, and you want this package that I'm carrying.
Of that be assured. You obtained this from my dear wife. And how did you find my darling?
Not at the city pound, surprisingly enough.
Oh, you know my dear wife. How soon you know my darling so well, more than I her husband? Is it possible?
I don't know, is it?
I don't know either. I employ a detective.
Not this one.
I have need. My poor partner, Mr. Brody. You are interesting.
If you are interesting about who killed your partner, that's one thing. But if you want somebody to dig out your family secrets, that is nothing. With me, you are, shall we say, no place.
But why don't I got the right to know? There'll be no trouble, no scandal, no divorcement suing. Of that be assured. Even poor Chester is dead, so he's what one calls ancient history. While he lived, I knew nothing. I was blind. After he died, I see certain things.
Yeah, well, do you see that maybe your wife had a hand in Brody's death? What then?
Well, if it so happens that you cannot separate my darling from that, do you follow?
Not quite.
Ah. I'm not an old man,
well,
but my dear wife is but 22 and a truly lovely person.
Yes, she's all right.
Would it not be the part of husbandly wisdom to have, shall I say, a hold over her?
If she's guilty, you won't need it.
Good. Please, I cannot hold the gun and handle my wallet at the same time. Please.
No, thanks. You keep the gun. I'll take the wallet.
Oh, you trust me. You will work for me.
Yeah, I'll work for anybody. Here, I left your cab.
Oh, assuredly you are so very kind.
Oh, I'm not so
now
kind.
The package, yes?
No.
Then I don't hesitate to shoot you.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yes?
This is the fake. You sure you want this?
Assuredly, yes.
A man has already been killed for it. Your life's a high price to pay for a fake, though fancy, tin cup.
You still think that's the price?
Brother, I know it.
Then you know I will kill you for it.
Okay, if it means that much to you, and I guess it does, it's all yours.
Okay, thank you, okay. Please remain where you are. If you follow me, I will surely suit you.
From my front window, I watched them come out downstairs and start across the street. Then it happened. I saw the gun flash as it fired, and Theophilus slumped to the pavement. The package slid away from him into the gutter. I beat it down to him. He'd taken all three pellets in the midsection from close range. His pulse fluttered once or twice and then stopped. When I went to look for the package, it wasn't there. I called homicide and waited until they took him away. When I told Lieutenant Dundee what I had in mind, he congratulated me on my brilliant scheme and told me to go ahead with it. That was his mistake. I even talked him out of assigning any of his harness men to watch my building for the next couple of hours. That was my mistake. I went upstairs, opened a bottle, and waited for your knock on my door, Commodore.
Well, sir, a man would almost think you expected us. Keep a weather eye on him, Clarence. Don't let him get to Leeward.
Aye, sir.
Welcome aboard.
No time to scuttle about, Mr. Spade. We are bound for Bulilong Bali on the MacArthur Maru, sailing at dawn. I want that cup. The true, the genuine, the Vapio cup. No more deceptions, no more trickery. You will hand it over without further delay.
Sure. Be glad to.
Oh, no, not like that. You will tell Clarence where it is stowed, and Clarence will fetch it above decks.
Why, you old barnacle. Theophilus never had his mitts on a genuine Vapio cup.
Bilge water, sir. When Theophilus landed in San Francisco, he didn't have a farthing. Now he owes $500,000. If he hadn't got a genuine cup, how could he have borrowed all that money?
Because a bunch of morons like you believed he had it.
Lost my binnacles, man. You sound as though you believed what you're saying.
Look, Commodore, you're interested in high finance. Now, how did Ivor Kruger make his millions?
Why, matches.
He was the match king, sir.
Matches had nothing to do with it, Commodore. He started out with 15 million bucks worth of phony government bonds that he printed himself. Follow? They weren't even good counterfeits, but he was smart enough not to try and cash them. He just kept them in a safety deposit box and borrowed money. Theophilus used his phony Vafio cup the same way.
Lost my binnacles, man. You sound as though you believe what you're saying.
That has a familiar ring to it. I do. And I'll tell you why. He knew that that was the fake in the package when he held me up for it. He was willing to risk his own life to get it out of circulation.
Dash my timbers. Old Theophilus has left us without a shot in the locker. He steered us onto the shoals. We're on our beam ends.
Hey, turn them off, Commodore. You're pumping bilge flush. We better haul our wind.
Yes, indeed. I'm afraid it's getting rather warm in San Francisco. Bully long beckons.
You won't make it past the potato patch.
What?
The cops are going to want some answers about a couple of stiffs you left behind in San Francisco.
I'm glad you reminded me.
Shall I plug him?
No. We are taking him with us.
Oh, that's what you think.
Take it easy, mate. This ain't going to hurt a bit.
A reek of chloroform filled the room and a fist pounded into my belly. It knocked my wind out, and at the same time, my nose collided with something wet and cold. I swung out but didn't connect. Before I could swing again, the room blurred and the ceiling light floated down to meet me. Then the lights went out altogether. At first, I couldn't figure it. It sounded like what a doctor hears through a stethoscope, or maybe an earthquake, or maybe ship engines, which it turned out to be. When the lights came on again, I was lying on a bunk in a stateroom. I staggered across to the wash basin and splashed water on my face.
Hello, you.
Enid, as I hardly live and breathe.
It could get worse.
Yeah, where are we?
Oh, not very far out. Not past the Farallone.
Good. I'm a stowaway, and they'll put me off of the pilot.
Oh, no, you're not. Your passage is paid.
Mine? It is, huh?
It is. Do you know who you are?
Who am I?
Chester Brody.
Then I'm dead. They'll bury me at sea.
Roger.
Who are you?
I'm your widow.
What's the score, widow?
Chester and I booked passage on this ship a week ago. It was part of the plan. Chester and the Commodore worked it all out.
Yeah, the cup was to have been stolen from me on the train.
Yes, but when the Commodore discovered it was a fake, everything fell to pieces.
Yeah, he thought Chester was double-crossing him.
They forced Chet to talk. He told them Dimitri still had the genuine Vafio cup and had hired you for the double-cross. Maybe he really believed it. Anyway, they killed Dimitri.
Yeah, well, there's nothing on them yet. But you're a material witness, sweetheart, to at least one of the killings. That's extraditable. When that dawns on them, they'll scuttle you, too.
It's already dawned on them. I'm desperate.
Yes, I notice. For you, you're practically hysterical.
We have to face facts.
Yeah, give me a couple to face right now. Where are the Commodore and Clarence?
Up on the bridge.
Good. All you have to do is walk straight up to the captain. He'll put them under arrest.
Well, that might be a good idea, darling. Only...
Only what?
Only the Commodore is the captain.
That tore it. Your salty talk have fooled me, Commodore. I never dreamed that you were really an old sea dog, and I do mean dog, but two can play at that game. From my own intimate knowledge of sea story magazines, I realized that all hands would be turned to in the cargo gear, and the crew quarters would be, therefore, empty. In more time than it takes to tell, Enid and I had fitted ourselves out in dungarees, jumpers, and watch caps, and turned to with them.
Preventer.
Oh, me? You may recall, Commodore, you may recall me as the man who ran for a fire extinguisher when the bosun yelled, "Stow the preventer." But experience is the best teacher, and by the time we hove to put the pilot over the side, things were in such a state of confusion that you had retreated to your cabin with a quadruple ration of grog. Seizing that moment, I threw Enid over the side, yelled, "Man overboard!" and jumped in after him. Once safely aboard the pilot schooner, we revealed our true identity, and a merry laugh was enjoyed by all. It dropped us at the foot of Margaret, and we waved warm farewells to our erstwhile rescuers, then to the snug haven of my office in a friendly cup, if you'll pardon the expression, in the grateful warmth of a gas radiator.
Unhealthy.
Who, me?
Gas fumes. Ooh.
Why don't you move into a building with steam heat?
I like this building. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been here for a long time.
You don't make much money, do you?
You don't have to rub it in. It's a living.
You happy?
Mm-hmm. Sure I am.
Well, guess it's all right then.
You know, sweetheart, there's something missing in you.
Oh, what?
Well, I don't know.
And then how do you know?
Forget it.
Well, I guess I'll go.
Do you mind if I don't see you to the door?
Why should I? What?
Hey, you are human. Yeah, they're wet. Go ahead, sweetheart. Cry all you want. It's been tough. You shouldn't have kept it bottled up this long.
No, it's not what you think.
What is it?
It's you. You're so nice.
I'm nice?
Yeah, but you're no place. You never will be. And neither will I.
And Bat Collador is the cargo. It was nice seeing you again down at the hall. They tell me you and Clarence are both trying to turn state's evidence. But according to the late bulletins, Clarence was leading by a neck in the stretch. Get it? The DA was afraid the jury might not understand your salty talk. Period. End of sea chanty.
Oh, Sam.
Yes, what?
Oh, Sam.
Hmm?
Well, I just can't.
Can't you? Are you feeling okay, F?
Oh, Sam.
Hmm?
You betrayed your trust. You...
Effie, speak to me. What is it? What is it? I betrayed my trust. What?
Those criminals were on that boat.
Yes?
And you... You jumped overboard.
You feel that I was recalcitrant? Is that it? That my actions were not true blue, clear cut? Is that it?
Oh, I'll just go type this up, and I'm sure you can explain. I hope you can. I hope.
Sour racket.
Question. What's the easiest and best way there is to give your hair that well-groomed look? Answer, Wild Root Cream Oil. Yes, non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil with soothing lanolin gives you the advantages considered most important in a hair tonic. It grooms your hair neatly and naturally, relieves annoying dryness, removes loose, ugly dandruff. Call at your drug or toilet goods counter tonight or first thing tomorrow for Wild Root Cream Oil. If you've never tried it before, get the generous new 25-cent bottle just introduced. Also, ask your barber for a professional application of Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Well, here it is, Sam. I hope the spelling is all right. I was so upset.
You hate me, then?
Oh, no. No. I suppose it's foolish going along thinking that your ideal doesn't have feet of clay. Oh, Sam, I just can't. I just can't imagine.
Don't you think I can explain, Eph?
Oh, yes, I'm sure you can explain. But you did. You deserted your post and jumped overboard like a thinking rat.
That's right.
Oh, Sam, that's so unlike you. It was just by chance they were apprehended.
By chance, you say? Who do you think it was that got himself shot out of a torpedo tube in that submarine?
You, Sam?
No, you think I'm crazy? I did something few radio detectives ever do, sweetheart. I called the Harbor Patrol single-handed using only one nickel and had them picked up.
Oh, Sam, I wish I'd been there.
Well, it was just a small phone booth. Besides, if you'd been there, it would have been out of order or something.
Oh, Sam, you came through after all.
Aren't you ashamed that you ever doubted me?
Yes, I am. I'm a fool.
There. I forgive you.
Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, are produced and directed by William Spear. Sam Spade is played by Howard Duff. Lorene Tuttle is Effie. The Adventures of Sam Spade are written for radio by Bob Tallman and Gil Dowd. Musical direction is by Lud Gluskin, with score composed by Renee Garrigan. Join us again next Sunday when author Dashiell Hammett and producer William Spear join forces for another adventure with Sam Spade. Brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. This is Dick Joy. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective, from August 22nd, 1948. The Vapio Cup Caper, starring Howard Duff as Dashiell Hammett's detective creation, probably his most famous detective creation, Sam Spade, as heard on CBS, sponsored by Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. And they would say on these commercials, for good grooming for women, men, and children. What, it was like a oil, like a creamy oil that you put in your hair.
I was just thinking that might be helpful for you, Carl.
No, why? What's wrong with my hair? There's nothing wrong with
my... It's looking a little dry on the
end. No. My hair. I take care of my hair, Lisa.
I can see that.
But I don't think Wild Root Cream Oil exists anymore. I don't think it's... I don't think you can... Maybe you can. I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a question for our listeners. Yeah,
right.
They know these things, boy.
I know,
you ask our listeners something, they will know the answer.
And if you say something wrong, they will let you know.
No, absolutely. But that's never happened to you.
No, not to me, but it's pretty much to you.
Because
most
you know
of
what?
Time.
You were wrong one time, I think, in your life, and that was about being wrong.
Right.
Right?
I'm pretty much always right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So guess what? You know what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
When I started in this business.
Yes.
Back in
1802.
Way back in not 1812.
1802.
I tried to be at least what you are now. You're an actress. Lisa Wolf is quite an accomplished actress, folks.
Well,
she's on things
Carl.
All the time. I turn on the TV and there she is. I can't get away from you.
Right, I know.
I do the show with you here on Sundays.
Keep popping up here.
Every time I turn on my TV, there's Lisa Wolf.
Well, that's a good thing.
And I started in this business as an actor.
So what
and
happened?
It didn't work out for me.
Okay.
It didn't work out for me. Nobody wanted to hire me.
But
I was on a couple of things.
But you're a great radio host.
Oh, well, yeah, you know what? I'll give
Carl?
You 20 minutes to stop that.
Okay.
So, but you know what? If Chicago Actors Studio was around back in the 80s when I was in acting, I maybe could have been an actor.
Maybe
like
could've.
A real actor. Because Ed Fogel runs an amazing actor's studio here in Chicago, and he has given us $300 gift certificates. It's one 10-week acting course at his studio. So we're going to give one away now, a 10-week acting course. It's $300 gift certificate to the Chicago Actors Studio. If you can name this movie. Now, this is a great movie. I love this movie. 1988, and this is a comedy. John Cleese stars in this. Call us at 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open, 312-981-7200, if you could name this movie.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right! To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people! I've known sheep that could outwit you.
That's what you say to me.
What?
Right, Lisa, you say that to me all the time.
Right, exactly that.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so if you could name that movie, give us a call right now. We'll find our winner after these words.
Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. Let's play that movie clip again.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right! To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people! I've known sheep that could outwit you.
Oh, what a movie clip. We have Martin on the line. Hi, Martin. How are you?
Doing good.
Great. You know this movie? I can't believe it's back from 1988. I remember watching this movie, and I can't believe it was that many years ago. Can you tell us what that movie is?
Yes, the hilarious Fish Called Wanda, Fish Called Cream Wanda.
That's right, A Fish Called Wanda. You are a winner, Martin. Would you like a 10-week training program at the Chicago Actor Studio?
Sure.
You got to be brave, okay?
All right.
Okay, congratulations. You are a winner. Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Martin. Hey, next week on the WGN Radio Theater, I just want to tell people what we have. We have The Whistler. Oh, boy.
Oh, we like
that's
that.
A good mystery. The Whistler. Then we have Lucille Ball in her radio series, My Favorite Husband, and Have Gun Will Travel with John Daner. But I want to welcome Nick Nagilio to the show. What's up, Nick? How are you, buddy?
Hey,
you remember, you love these classic radio shows,
don't
you?
I love them. I love your show.
Thank you, my friend. I love your show.
Thank you. I will say this. You just played a clip from...
A Fish Called Wanda.
A Fish Called Wanda, which features my teenage and adult crush, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Really?
Oh, my
yes.
God, did I love
right.
Jamie Lee
See,
Curtis.
See, now we just learned something new about you, Nick.
When I met her, I got to meet her. Roy Leonard interviewed her and Catherine Bigelow when they made the movie Blue Steel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there's a picture of me in between Catherine Bigelow and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Right.
And it's probably the goofiest grin I've ever had on my face in my life.
Yeah. And here's him. Boy, too bad this wasn't, you know, that I wasn't meeting a sandwich, right?
How long ago? How long ago is it?
At the two beautiful pieces of bread.
1990.
Yeah. Oh, it's eons back already.
Yeah. As soon as I saw Halloween in 1978,
That was it.
It was all over.
She shows a lot of her personality in this movie, doesn't she?
Not as much as she did in Trading Places.
Trading Places.
Oh, I saw that. Yes, I do remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
It was so funny because like she spent most of the late 70s, early 80s doing slasher movies, horror movies.
Oh, yeah,
and she never got naked in those movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then she does an Eddie Murphy comedy and she's naked. I'm like, what?
And you wonder why she wasn't in other movies because she's pretty much perfect.
And well, she was in that movie too.
Yeah, perfect. That's right. So, Nick, what's on the show tonight?
We're reviewing the new movies and talking about the Chicago Critics Film Festival, which starts on Friday. And we are each morning... This whole week, we're giving away five passes, tickets to screenings at the festival.